So how's things in Port Chalmers?
Oh, good. Yeah. Started back at work today after the school holidays.
Yeah.
I'm working at the school here as a teacher aide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there about 18 months ago. We did a family trip down south, and it's absolutely stunning out there. I had no appreciation of that area. it's obviously a sweet spot for you.
Yeah. I grew up a bit south of here, down by East Tyre, which is sort of on the way. If you leave the airport heading into Dunedin, it's on the way here on the Tyre Plain. So I grew up there, and then went to art school in Dunedin and flattered there for quite a while, and then about 95 moved out to Port Chalmers because it was sort of cheap rent and cheap houses and lots of artistic things going on. So I've been here ever since, and I love it because I've been around the world a bit and experienced a few different places, but this definitely feels like home. So it's not too hot for me. Not too hot for me. I don't like the heat.
Yeah, likewise. So you're flying up to Whangarei later on this month. I think it's about October the 26th. The Hangar Gallery is going to be exhibiting your work, and then you'll also be performing a solo show at 116, which is a great venue and also the home of Beagle Radio.
Great.
So I wanted to sort of start with your artwork first. And when did you, I'm fortunate enough to have a couple of your pieces, but when did you actually take up painting?
Well, as a kid, I did a lot of drawing. I'd draw local sort of farmhouses and the odd sort of stately home around the Tyre in Dunedin. I'd do pen and ink sort of wash versions of those and colour them with watercolours, just sort of lightly. And so I was doing that when I was about 15, 16, 17, so I did a lot of that, and I did a lot of drawing as a kid. Didn't have TV or computers or anything, so I did a hell of a lot of drawing as a kid. And then ended up going to art school and did that for 2 years. And art-wise at that time, it was most of the artwork that I'd be doing would have been for band posters, for record covers. Yeah. Also ran a tape label, so I did a lot of artists and associated with that, and also did a fanzine called Every Secret Thing. I did 13 issues of that, so that was a creative outlet for my drawing. And then painting-wise, I probably began late 80s. I began sort of seriously creating some artworks and heading along the road of trying to, do half-decent paintings of the ideas that I'd sketched or that I had in my mind. So it's an ongoing process in terms of how I approach it and try and execute the ideas that I've got. So pretty much the late 80s, I'd often have little exhibitions at some of the collectives and sort of art groups we had and a few auctions and fairly odd one or two of your friends. And then it's basically slowly grown since then in terms of upping production and selling a few more and having a few more shows and sort of getting a wee bit more serious about it, I suppose. But my approach is basically the same that it has been, which is it's almost like doing a coloured representation of the drawings I do, opposed to, say, trying to create something on a canvas with a lot of depth or emotion or something, for lack of better words. But it's probably a different approach than some painters would have.
Because I know with your, you've got your teaching commitments, you've got obviously your own music commitments with various bands. You've got a family, because I know that two of them sung on Ginger Ale. The song Ginger Ale, I think.
Bridie, my daughter, who's now 28, she sang on that when she was about four or five. Yeah, yeah, mother, daughter is musical, and my son is playing a lot of guitar at the moment as well.
Oh, that's great. I always got a kick out of that track. And, I have three children myself, so my wife and pushed them pretty hard into music, which they've certainly gravitated to.
Oh, great.
So my question is, how do you make time for your painting?
It's a very good question. I find it hard to fit in sometimes, but I pretty much not force myself, but just sit down in the evening and paint.
Yeah.
Basically, get into the habit. I mean, people say, "Oh, you've got to wait for inspiration," but that's not the case for me. I sort of already have the idea, so it's more getting on with it, sitting down and just starting the process. And once you're underway, you will continue the journey of learning how to paint or learning how to create something new through a work. So it's a case of attacking it, and then I find as I work through something that it will lead to another idea or another approach. So it's all a learning curve. But basically I'll have something that I have to have painted by a certain time, whether it's a commission or an exhibition coming up. So there's always a need to paint, as it were, whether or not I feel like it. It's a case of sitting down and doing it. And, once you've done that, then time and the world spins away and you're immersed in the painting. So,
Do you quite like the discipline? Look, I've got an exhibition coming up, so I need to.
Basically, it's committing to do something. So you're committed to a time frame once you've got an exhibition, obviously, and so it's a case of painting as much as possible leading up to that point. And I've always got other commissions on the go and waiting, so I've always got something to be working on. So it's I find it a rewarding process too, the whole way that you start with nothing and then you come to a point where you have to say, "Oh, that's finished." And as soon as something's finished, it's gone. It's in the past. You try and get rid of it and look forward to the challenge of the next one.
Yeah. The two pieces I've got of yours, obviously you've got, well, to me, they've got influences of probably the surroundings of where you are, in terms of that Otago area. And, is that obviously has an influence. And I've also seen some of your other work, and not all of it, but some of it has got landscape.
I'm definitely heavily influenced and motivated by the surrounding landscape. I love the interaction between the land and the sea, especially in the horizon, and just the basic form landforms that are around here. So I never tire of attacking those. But also even things like the trees, especially trees like Macrocarpa trees that are on the coast that are severely attacked by the wind every day and bent into interesting shapes. So for me, it's about form and shape and color as well, obviously, and light. Try to portray that as well. That's a further challenge. But, very much the surrounding landscape. And then the other sort of track that I go down is more stuff in my imagination. So I do quite a lot of sort of alien, some space scenes, things made up of my imagination. I sort of branch off into those sometimes too.
Yeah. I've got a piece of David Kilgore's, you guys get together and kind of, because some of the stuff I've seen of his has got some serious space themes, although they've got some really interesting characters in it. I mean, both your work is quite different, but he's obviously a keen painter as well.
Yeah, no, he is. He's doing some great stuff. And so now, Hamish as well in the Queen.
Yeah, I really like. I mean, I love his recent album, but the cover's fantastic as well.
Oh yeah, no, very playful, interesting style he's got.
So how many pieces are you bringing up to the Hinger Gallery?
I think I've got about 30 odd. I'm still finishing some this week, which I've got to send off, and then I'll be stuffing the rest of them into a bag very carefully so they don't get damaged on the plane. Yeah, over 30 pieces, so it's quite a few.
Yeah. Just onto your music. I mean, I'm a huge fan of obviously the flying, and I'm sort of sticking with your solo stuff because you are coming up to do solo stuff. But I'm a personally big fan of, you know, Ends Run Together and and The Greenhouse. But probably one of my two favourite releases of yours is I've got a vinyl copy of The Creeping Unknown, and also which I love. I really love that. And I've also got a hold of just a CD copy of Sticks, S-Y-X, yeah, from your website. I actually got it from a shop in Auckland. But, can you share with us how the recording of The Creeping Unknown came about? Because it's an amazing album.
Well, it's quite experimental, and basically I decided to sort of take a chance, as it were, and try and free up my musical mind from the constraints of writing pop songs. And basically with a friend, Nigel Bunn, who's got a big warehouse full of all kinds of weird organs and keyboards and wind instruments, all kinds of things. We just basically made noises and wrote pieces and made sounds one night, right through the night till the early hours of the morning, and recorded it as we went, and then sort of revisited it and pieced it together, and basically created an album from that, from experimental jamming, really. But having said that, I was still linked to a certain sense of melody and rhythm, so even though they're kind of experimental, they've still got elements of more traditional or normal music in them. So the lines or melodies will still be sort of reasonably typical of what I do. But I definitely had a lot of fun making that, and I was really glad that it got chucked onto vinyl as well by some friends in Germany. So
I actually got a copy, a new copy of it. In a record store in Napier, but that track, was it Harmonic Deluxe, I think? It's certainly evident of your previous stuff, but there's a whole lot of it that's not, and that's what kind of made it certainly appealing.
We actually recorded also some of the tracks, and I think Harmonic Deluxe was one of them, with David Kilby at his house as well, and he actually played on a couple of things. So it's sort of probably three quarters or two thirds from the session with Nigel, the all night session, and then the rest of it I did with David at his house. So I had tremendous fun making that album.
So are we going to be seeing a follow up to The Greenhouse at some stage?
Yep. Basically, just finished tracking the next batch album. I just came back yesterday from Inland Canterbury. So we've got about 14 brand new batch tunes done. Kay and Paul have got to put their overdubs on and then mix it, and then that'll be out next year. So now that my part of that is pretty much done, I'll be working out what I want to do with the next solo album. I was really pleased with the way The Greenhouse came out. So it'll probably be along those lines in terms of kind of some sweet tunes, and also try and push myself and go into some other areas as well. So do that next year sometime. I've got all the stuff written, so I've got to make the time and get in the studio somewhere. There's a good studio here in Chick's Hotel that Tom Bell runs. Used to be that venue. So yep. I could probably do it there. Looking forward to that very much.
I've always followed Dale Cotton from the time that I got into HCU, and so I was so it was really cool to see how he had become part of part of your production team the album.
Yeah.
That's with the last two, isn't it? Because it's
we did the last two with him, and we did Free All the Monsters with the Bats, with Dale doing the engineering on that. Really, really good to work with a really smart guy with sound. Very clever.
And will there be anything ahead regarding the clean in terms of new recordings?
We're working on a doco, and we're possibly looking at a couple of shows next year. So there'll be some activity.
One of my last questions was, and I know it's certainly a long time ago, but I know that you and the rest of the clean were in New York around September 11th, and you guys as a band showed huge steel and decided to play the next day live in New York. And you know what was that like?
That was very bizarre. Basically, me and David flew in the night before, and then the next morning, which was 9/11, Hamish came and banged on our hotel door and said, "You better come outside and see what's happening." Of course, looked outside, and here was one of the towers had been hit, and so we went down to the streets, and it was all pandemonium, of course. And then we basically went to a park at the end of, on the side of Manhattan, really. We figured, well, we don't know what's happening, we'll just hang out in this park, because we couldn't get off Manhattan, obviously. And then the second one hit, and then we went down, and it was very surreal. It was like being in a movie or in a dream, really. You go to another level of survival mode, really, and you deal with the little things or obstacles or problems that are present in that time, and you somehow get through it. So we didn't have any choice in what we could do, really. We couldn't leave Manhattan, really. We couldn't fly home. You know, all the flights were grounded, obviously. We had a whole tour booked, so we basically went, oh, well, we'll just go ahead and do what we can do. And obviously someone organised a gig the next day as a benefit for the firefighters, and we were approached, or Hamish put our name for it, I can't remember. And that was a very powerful experience as well, just creating music, I guess, in the face and the aftermath of what happened. A very bizarre experience, and then we carried on with and did all the dates on the tour, and came out the other end. So what a life's stranger experience.
Yeah, I bet. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've seen some of that footage. It's in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I think it might even be in a Lamb Chop, or maybe in David Kilgore's Far Off Town DVD. It's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful.
It's quite a bizarre thing. I've been able to, through playing music around the world, I've seen a few different interesting things. Like we were in Europe when Chernobyl happened as well, with the Bats in 86. So that was that 88, maybe 88. But we were sort of touring through Europe, and that happened, and we thought, oh God, we'll get out of here. But it wasn't like 9/11, because it was a long way away in terms of being in Russia. But and things like seeing the Berlin Wall before it came down.
Did you tour through East West Germany, or, you know,
I went through there as well and did a show, and I find that kind of stuff quite fascinating. Being from New Zealand, obviously, the other side of the world, and observing those things, I guess reading about them and learning about them at school in terms of history and things like that, and then going over and experiencing a little bit of it is quite amazing.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time on a Monday night. And I'm certainly going to be I'll certainly be making the drive up there to attend the exhibition and the gig as well. So.
Oh, great. It'll be great to see you there, David.
Yeah, and I understand tickets are selling very well, so that's good.
Oh, great to hear. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, David.
Okay, cheers. Bye, Robert.
Okay, bye-bye.